The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You mean to tell me you can still enjoy it? Oh, Lord. Oh, me. Oh, that's great. Praise the Lord. You mean you can still have fun in church? Amen. Yeah. How about that? I love that. And it's clean fun. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And no X-outs. Amen. X-rated. Well, I will say this. Your preacher mentioned a while ago about rock and roll. Well, now, I do like rock and roll. I got to admit, I do like rock and roll. See, I'm standing on a rock. My name's on the roll. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I like that kind of rock and roll. Amen. It's so good to be here. Boy, I tell you, we have had a time to remember. We'll remember this place for a long, long, never forget it, really. And what an honor and what a privilege. You got a good thing going here. I'm excited about what God's going to do in this place and what he's already doing. God's raising up some good churches. You know, I told the pastor, Dr. Howells, Dr. Lee Robertson, those fellows had great churches. Dr. Curtis Hudson, down where we are, built Forest Hills Baptist Church. And you know, those have kind of, they're kind of gone now. They've kind of drifted away from where they used to be. But let me tell you, God's raising up some men still. God's in control. And God says, I got a remnant. Like old Elijah got down, ran from that stinking Jezebel, scared of her. And he said, I think I'm the only one left. You ever feel that way? And the Lord said, now you get up. I got 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. So praise the Lord. I'm so glad we're here. And it's just been a fun, fun time. And even though we did have to drive all the way here in the rain, it was worth it. See, God knew what was on this end. And so I appreciate you tonight. Thank you so much for being here. And please take your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Mark that or hold your finger there. And then turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to ask you this. How many of you tonight would say, I would be willing tomorrow morning to leave my job, leave my home, and I want to go? If God's called you to do this, you need to do this. But I'm talking about just anybody be willing to go to Africa and spend 6 months or so just soul winning. How many? Yeah. How many would be willing to go to Mexico? How many would be willing to go to China? How many would be willing to go to India? Huh? How many would be willing to go to Hawaii? Uh-oh. Yeah, you bunch of carnal. There you go, see. I was in a missions conference with a young man and his wife that was going to Hawaii. And he said, man, you wouldn't believe how hard it is to get support. And I thought, well, hey, those Polynesians need the gospel too, don't they? Amen. I said all that to say this. When you get involved in faith promise missions, you're there. You're there. When we get to heaven, God's going to say, you had a part in Africa. You had a part of people getting saved over in China. Can't you just picture what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and somebody from China comes up and says, thank you for giving so that that missionary could come and tell me how to miss hell. I don't know of anything any better, do you? Praise God for it. And so I want to share something with you tonight on this idea of just being a cheerful giver. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, now notice what this is said, Paul is writing to really not a real spiritual church. I mean, Corinth had their problems, but he's writing to them this epistle saying, look, upon the first day of week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you that one day somebody, I can't even really remember who it was, maybe several people, preached to me about faith promise missions, about giving something that I didn't have to see folks come to Christ. And Father, tonight I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Oh God, help me. Hide me behind the cross. If you don't do that, I'm wasting time. Don't let me do that, God, please. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Speak to my heart. Speak to this good group of people as only you can. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm talking about a cheerful giver. Notice what it says in verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Now watch. As God hath prospered him. Now, I don't know about you, but here's what I did. And maybe you didn't do this. Maybe you were more spiritual than me. I wouldn't say you wouldn't be, but here's the thing. When I first got saved and started learning that I was supposed to tithe, I'll tell you the truth. I tithe off the net. After Uncle Sam got his little bit, whatever I had left, I tithed off of that. If I brought home, I tithed off my bring home pay. Amen. I did that. I confess it. Amen. But you know what I learned? One of the best days in my life was when I learned that God has to come first. And I learned to tithe off the gross income and trust God. Well, you can tell that I've been on a hunger strike for a long, long time. Poor me, God just has not fed me like he should. Amen? I can't even tell you what God's done. I left a job that I had 16 years and really had a great future at the time. I was 34 years old. I met a man, and you got one of these. Watch out. I met a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles. I'd done been to college. You can't tell it, but I had. And he told me I ought to go to Bible college. Yeah, he told me I ought to go. Here, I got kids that are running everywhere. I mean, I got a family. I'm working. I've been at my trade 16 years. I was making good money. I had a good, good job. I was going to college. I had been trained to be an organizer in the union. I had a future. I was going to go to law school. Had a bump in the road. I met Dr. Jack Hiles. God had called me to preach. I knew that. My good pastor said, when we went to pick him up at his hotel, he said, hey, listen, what advice, Brother Hiles, do you have for Brother Barnes? He said, well, I think he needs to go prepare. Watch out when they say that. Amen. No, he was right. He was right. In 1981, I walked away from my job that I liked. I liked it. People have been good to me. I don't want to go into all that. I'd been doing it since I was a kid, just a teenager. And I enjoyed it. I was making good money. My wife knows this is the truth. And in 1981, I walked away from it in January and went to Hiles Anderson College. I got headed up that way, and there was snow on the ground in Georgia. By the time I got up there, there was 3 feet of snow. The windshield wipers quit working on the car. You know the story. You know all those things that happened. And little things, God wanted to know, hey, you serious about this? And let me tell you, I cannot tell you how good care God's took care of us in all these last years since 1980, even before then. God did it. I'm talking about being a cheerful giver. Listen, tonight, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see this. And then just let me share some thoughts with you for a minute on that subject of being a cheerful giver. Don't be a... Somebody said this one time, preachers, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Some preachers have said, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. Yeah, well, that's probably true. I mean, you know, amen. But I'll tell you this, God still prefers us to be cheerful givers. God prefers for us. I mentioned a while ago about being a missionary and sending. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I love mission boards. I mean, I'm talking about a board that sends people out. I'm talking about it in churches where they show the missionaries. And they're up there and they show where they're all going. I was in one church where they had a big map of the world and they had them lit up with like little Christmas tree lights, you know. They didn't blink, but they just lit up. And they had a missionary there, and that meant that they had the light there. Folks, we live in a dark world. Now, I'll be honest, and here's the message. I could stop right here. You want me to? I could stop right here and say, like we say back in Georgia and Alabama, what you going to do about it? Amen? What part are you going to have? What has God put on your heart? Now, I'm not talking about your budget. No. That's not faith promise. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to give you two verses here. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Now we read over in Malachi chapter 3, and I won't go over there, but we read on the law, the Mosaic law, and what God had to say about giving in Malachi chapter 3. I told you this morning that giving there and offerings they would bring to the temple, that was the storehouse, and they were to take care of the Levites, the priests that way, Aaron and his bunch, okay, and on down the line, and his family. And that was the way it operated. Well, it's still like that somewhat in the New Testament, because God says this, it's the same thing, 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so hath the Lord ordained, listen to me, that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. Now that applies to your pastor and these men up here. Amen. Every bit of it. You're supposed to take care of them. Right. Amen. Amen. But that also applies to the missionary over there. Amen. That's preaching the gospel. Don't let that missionary come back because they're having to. I really get discouraged when I talk to missionaries and they say, I got to take a furlough. I've had some churches drop me. And I'm not talking about doctrinally. I'm not talking about immorality or something like that. I'm talking about just churches add on these people and then quit. And they got to come home every few months or every couple of years and work another deputation. Isn't that sad? That's sad, amen. 1 Corinthians 16:1, we read it a while ago. Now concerning the collection. For the saints I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Do just like this. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly are of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. There's another verse concerning preachers. Now let me give you this right quick. In the New Testament, it emphasizes that all belongs to the Lord. Now stay with me here, stay with me, okay? Not only one tenth, but every penny spent or given or used is to be used as God leads and to His glory. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I could give you some personal illustrations. I could go into a lot of things. I am not going to buy a season ticket to Disney World out where we live. Y'all got a Disney something here? Huh? Well, we do too. We got six. I've been to Six Flags one time in my life. I didn't like the music. I'm not going in there. I'm not going to. How many things do you have in your life that are just luxuries, just things that you don't need? You see, but we're so careful to feed ourselves, to give ourselves what we want and entertain ourselves. And these poor missionaries are scratching around trying to get support 2 years, 3 years on the road, trying to do a deputation. Have you ever thought about that word deputation that we call it? You know what you're doing? You're deputizing them to go in your place. They're going to represent you and this church. And of course, first of all, the Lord. Now, here's the thing. The New Testament giving is a submission or a heart issue. We read about that in 2 Corinthians 9:7. You just saw it. Let every man give. It's a submission thing, okay? Not only that, New Testament giving is a sowing issue. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the verse that we just read. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The third thing, New Testament giving, is a spirit thing. It's a spirit issue. Notice what he says, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, cheerful giver. Amen. Always remember this about the Bible. Let me just throw this out at you. The Old Testament is the New Testament enfolded. Enfolded. The Old Testament is the New Testament enfolded. The New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. Well, Brother Barnes, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. You study it. Hey, in the New Testament, it'll take many things that the Old Testament teaches and carry it even farther. It will expand on it instead of reducing it down. Here's what I mean. Take this for instance. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not lust, doesn't it? Thou shalt not lust, okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. We could add that to it. That's the Old Testament. What does it say in the New Testament? Matthew 5, verse number 28. And he says, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery already in your heart. That's taking it further. Amen. Amen. So over in the Old Testament, you got the law. Over in the New Testament, I'm living under grace. I don't have to do all that stuff that's over there because we're under grace today. Hey, let me tell you, because we're under grace, we ought to do more. Amen. We ought to do more. Amen. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill. Amen. But 1 John 3:15 says it like this. If you hate, you have committed murder. Yes, sir. That's the Bible now. That's not me. 1 John 3:15. The New Testament giving, listen, so that applies to giving also. New Testament giving goes beyond the tithes and offering. Over in Malachi chapter 3, I said this a little bit this morning. In Malachi chapter 3, talks about tithes and offerings and robbing God. But listen, the New Testament goes beyond that. It was a marvelous day when I learned to tithe off the gross. But I'll tell you something else that I believe, folks. Now, don't get me wrong, a new Christian, and it doesn't have to be this way, but a new Christian ought to be willing to give 10% of their gross income. That's an offering. That's God's. You had to give it. But hey, some of you that's been saved a long time, you still giving $40.85. Squeeze that thing as much as you can. Amen? No, I'm talking about, what about 11%? Forget that 10% stuff. What about 11%? What about 12%? What about 13, 14, 15? We have a member in our family, I won't even tell you who it is. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. And one of our children gives 20%, always has. Long, long time. 20%. And that rascal got more money than anybody in the family. If you need a loan, see him after the service. I'm not bragging. I don't mean it that way. Here's what I'm saying, though. The New Testament, you got what I'm talking about? The New Testament expands it. It doesn't reduce it down. Well, they did this over in the Old Testament, but we don't have to do that in the New Testament. No, you're supposed to do more by grace. Amen? We're to give by grace through faith. Just start at 10%. Now, let me go on. I want to hurry. What's faith promise? Giving in the New Testament. What is faith promise? Giving in the New Testament church. Well, if I were to give you a piece of paper and give you a test tonight, let everybody write down what you think faith is. Just tell me what you think faith is. But most of you would probably go to Hebrews and say, why, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? But that still, does it explain it? Can you stand up and explain to me what faith is? But yet on the other hand, you're saved by faith. Now, I don't know about you, but down where I come from, we go by this, K-I-S-S. I don't know if you do that or not. In our family, we live by K-I-S-S. That's not me kissing my wife. Amen. Keep it simple, stupid. Amen. Just keep it simple. So you know what faith is? You know and I know. Hey, really, faith is just believing God. Hey, you know why you need to come to church? Because it'll grow your faith. You lay out of church, you're not going to grow your faith. You don't have any faith. But you know what you do with this kind of preacher right here and these men that get in this book and study and give you something on purpose that the Holy Spirit gave them, you know what will happen? You'll come in here and listen to them, and your faith will grow. You will hear what they say, and you'll go home, and the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, will say, you need to do that. And you do that, and what happens? Your faith grows and grows. I got more faith now than I did when I started. I believe I do. I believe God more now than I did the day I got saved. Amen. But let me give you this definition. Faith promise, here it is. Some people say this, faith promise giving is an amount you pray about and God puts an amount on your heart that you will trust Him to provide. Not an amount that you have, but an amount that you'll trust Him to provide. It's not what you have or you possess right now. It's what you have faith and believe God will give you so you can give. I'll give you three things about faith promise and what it'll do for you personally. I'll have to give these to you quick, aren't I? First of all, number one, it continues our salvation. Now, I don't have time to go into every bit that I've even got written down here, but here's the gist of it. You say, Brother Barnes, you mean faith promise giving, I said it continues your salvation. You mean it adds something to salvation? Jesus is not enough. Believing is not enough. No, that's not what I said. Here's what I'm talking about. I don't mean that at all. See, New Testament giving, folks, is not about the law. It's about faith. Amen. Is it not? All right. Here's a verse, Romans 1:17. For therein the righteousness of God revealed, watch this, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I got to hurry. Here we go. There's two important remarks here in this verse. Romans 1:17, here they are. And they're about faith. It says from faith to faith. And then it says a remark, the just shall live by faith. The idea here is that you got saved by faith. Amen? Didn't you? All right. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. All right? Now, here's what it is. With that very same faith, Romans 1:17, faith to faith. With that very same faith, you are supposed to live your Christian life by that same faith that got you saved. From faith to faith. You see, it was good enough to get you saved, then it ought to be good enough to continue with that faith, and that's called faith to live by. Faith to save, faith to live by. It's the same faith from faith to faith. I could give you a lot of verses, but the just shall live by faith, but the just shall also give by faith. Suppose you don't have enough faith to get saved. What's going to happen? You're going to die and go to hell. See, but here's the thing. Now listen to me. If you don't have enough faith to live by and obey God, live by your faith, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a miserable Christian, and you're going to miss a lot of blessings that God has for you. And one day in heaven, he's going to take you to a big room. Now, I'm not kidding here and just trying to be facetious. He's going to take you to a big room. You're going to walk in, and you're going to say, hey, what is that, Lord? He's going to say, well, that's all the blessings I wanted to give you, but you never got in a position where I could do it. I'm like my friend, Dr. Tom Wallace. Brother Wallace said that some of you, now I don't mean this for me, okay? Brother Wallace can say this. I'm just quoting him. He said one night to a crowd of folks like this, he said, some of you going to come by and polish my gold doorknob in heaven. You say that sounds boastful. No, I'm going to tell you. Don't think, hey, I love singing, I love song. Hey, but Jesus didn't say I go to prepare a mansion for you. And we make songs and say, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen. And we sing that all the time. We teach it. Hey, you may not have no mansion. That's not good English, but it's good truth. You might not have a mansion. You might be living in a cardboard hut. Huh? Tar paper shack. Huh? I will say this, and it'll be a mansion if he does what he said. Jesus said this, I go to prepare a place for you. That's Bible. He goes to prepare a place. He never promised us a mansion. Dr. Jack Hiles preached a message one time on sending building. He said some people not going to have anything in heaven because they're not sending nothing to build with. They're not sending any material up there. You think you can live like the world? You think you can do what you want to? You think you can hold God's money back that he gives you? And then you're going to get to heaven and everything's going to be rosy-dosy. Afraid not. I'm talking about you continue your salvation. The very same faith. I got to move on. Here we go, number two. Here it is. Not only does it continue your salvation, it cheers the soul. When you give what I give like I'm supposed to, it cheers the soul. You see, when we by faith obey God, and any obedience to God makes the soul rejoice. You know what obedience does? Brings joy. Just like a little child. I raised seven kids. Okay, thank God I'm done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you this. When you tell them to do something and they do it, oh, it made me feel good, but it also made them feel good. But you tell them to do something and they don't do it, I'm telling you, they have a look of guilt. They know in their heart they've been disobedient. Our oldest boy, I used to walk to the room. His name's Keith. And I'd say, Keith, something would happen. I'd say, Keith, did you do that? I mean, three-year-old like that. He'd look up at me and he'd say, well, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, preacher, you know how that is. It's really hard to tear them up after they've done that. He knew what he was doing, little rascal. He's softening me up. But it worked. He wouldn't lie to me. He never lied to me. Never lied to me that I know about. I'm talking about. I never caught him at it. Let's put it that way. All right, here's what happens. It cheers the soul. It'll produce three things in the life of a Christian. In a cheerful soul, here's what it is. Number one, rejoicing. I mentioned that. Psalms 86, verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. A Christian that doesn't give right will never live right. And will never have a cheerful soul. Because there's always that guilt. There's always, better get out of this church and go somewhere and hide. I don't mean that. I don't mean to do that. You stay here. But I'm telling you, that's what we need. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:7, a cheerful giver. Hey, preacher, what time y'all usually get out on Sunday night? About 8 o'clock, 8:30. Let me tell you, I could give you all kind of examples. I wish I could get up here and tell you. I'm almost faith promise given. Whenever I go to a church or I go to a new church and we get in, well, we know we're going to tithe. I mean, that's understood. But we know we're going to give to missions too. We just pick out something that we think God will provide and we give to missions. But I tell you, the fun hadn't even started. I really wish we could get it. Did you know giving for the Christian is full of joy and fun? Hey, it can almost become a game. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about looking for places and ways and ask the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. We have a man in our church. Back home in our home church, young man, got 5 children, 1 boy. God help him, amen. Oh, my soul. You know why he named her woman, don't you? Adam named her woman. And Adam did that, not God. He called her woman because we've been saying whoa ever since. Whoa, man. And you ain't laughing real good there. That's supposed to be funny. Huh? Stay with me now. Here's what I'm saying. Look, I went up to that young man. I saw that young man come to the altar. He does it all the time. He's a great young fella. Oh, he's probably, I don't think he's 40 yet, got 5 little children. And he and his wife, they homeschool. This guy, he's a deacon. And this guy has his own business. And he has a lot of money. He owes nothing. Owns 3 or 4 houses. I was sitting one night in service, and I had $100 bill in my pocket. Have I still got it? I don't think I got it. I know I don't have it. But I had $100 bill in my pocket. That's all I had. I saw him come up and pray, and I always sat down on the front, so I saw him kneel down with his family and they get around. Best behaved children you've ever seen in your life. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you give him that $100 bill? And I thought, Lord, he don't need that. That made $100 to him. That's like 10, you know. He don't need that. But God said, no, said, you give him that $100 bill. And let me tell you, you know what? I didn't care about the $100 bill. That's not the point. I hope y'all don't think I'm bragging. But it was the idea of what it did to my soul. Oh, it made me feel like, praise God. And that young man, I walked up after the service, handing him that. I said, listen, I knew he wouldn't take it unless I kind of forced it on him. And I said, Mark, I want you to do it. Before I even handed it to him, I said, I want you to let me do this. And Brother Craig knows him, Mark Holloway. And I said, I want you to let me do this now. Don't tell me I can't do this. Because if you do, I'm going to be disobedient. God's going to get me. Don't tell me no. And I stood there and I said, I want you to take this. His wife had been sick. She had hadn't been feeling well. Some of his kids had been sick. And I said, take your wife out. Take Kelly out. And y'all have a good meal together. Just take her on a date. Man, he stood there and started crying. Hey, look, you know what money's for to the Christian? It's to make you cry. I'm telling you. It's to use wherever God tells you to. Mission giving should really be a sort of a for granted type thing. Like the tithe. Amen? So what am I talking about? I'm talking about rejoicing. A cheerful giver. Now here's the thing. Number two, here's what it'll do to cheer your soul. Not only rejoicing, but relationship. I don't have time to go into it, but a relationship. And then number, God said he loves a cheerful giver. Amen? And then the next thing is reaping. What did he say in 2 Corinthians 9:6? He says, if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Now, that's not the motivation to give. The motivation to give, but I'm telling you, and we could stay here all night, and I know these men could too. Some of you could do it. And give example after example how that you cannot outgive God. Try it. If you outgive God, I tell you what I'll do. I probably shouldn't say this because I really can't do it. But it's not going to happen, so I guess I can say it. If you say for a year, I'm just going to give. And if God does not outgive you, you come to me and I'll reimburse everything you gave. I'll sell my house. Now, I mean that. You can't outgive God. Amen. And then let me give you this last thing. Number three, here's what it does. Not only does it continue our salvation, not only does it cheer the soul, but here's what it does. It conquers Satan. See? It conquers Satan. Did you know most of these foreign countries are pagan? They're heathen. Oh, they're worshiping all kinds of stuff. We got that in America nowadays. We're not a president. The president we got right now, I won't call his name. Yeah, I hate to have that in my mouth, but anyway. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful. He is the president. He is the president, such as it is, okay? He said that we were not a Christian nation anymore. He said that himself several years ago. And he's about right, I hate to admit. We've got to the place. But you know what happens when you give, when I give, when we're cheerful givers like God wants us to be? It conquers Satan. Remember, the New Testament giving is done by faith and not by keeping the law of Moses. Turn with me, if you will, over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 8. Conquering Satan. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, watch this, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How do we conquer Satan and get victory over him in the world? Well, let me give you this verse. Here we go now. You can write this one down. Don't worry about turning there. 1 John 5:4. How do we conquer Satan? Here it is. How do we conquer him? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now watch, and you know this, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith. Faith promise is faith. Giving is always done by faith. See, I'll say this. If you're probably not going to get victory over Satan if you don't give by faith. I hate to tell you that. 1 John 2:13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. You remember the illustration about Ananias and Sapphira? They had a problem giving like they should. And God gave us that as an example. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's... I'm talking about conquering Satan. You see, when we give like God wants us to, you know what you do? You slap Satan right in the face. You see, he'll tell you, no, you can't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't afford it. Let someone else give. He'll tell you that. But you can't live by faith unless you're willing to give by faith. Here's three things, three words that I give you tonight. New Testament giving. Here it is. I told you, K-I-S-S. Amen. Believe. Three words to live by as a Christian. Believe. Just believe what God says. Believe it. Okay? Love and trust. Trust. You know, you would say, well, Brother Barnes, if you believe something, don't you trust it? Well, it would seem that way. But let me tell you, do you really? It's kind of like if I had little Andrew up here, okay? That little tiny, skinny baby. Amen. Now, he might not do this for me, but you get the gist of what I'm talking about. If I stood that little boy up here on this pulpit, and I backed up, if the preacher or his dad's not up here, but if he backed up and said, come on, Andrew, jump, what do you think he would do? He would jump. You know why? Because he trusts. He trusts. Down where I live, we have a place called Tallulah Gorge. Tallulah Gorge. It's not as big as the Grand Canyon and all that, but it's about 1,000 feet deep. They went out there one time and they stretched a wire across that thing. Oh, yeah. And it was back in the days when tightrope walking was popular, you know, and these guys get out there and, man, they would walk across from big buildings in New York or wherever. So they stretched that thing across that cable. And there was a fellow by the name of Carl Walenda. They've got his picture in there and all the pictures of him doing it. And he gets out there and he walks across this cable. Amen? And then he goes across, he gets over on the other side. Boy, everybody just cheers, has a big time, all clapping their hands. Oh, woo, look at that. So he gets a wheelbarrow. And he pushes that wheelbarrow across that cable. Okay? He gets all the way across. Man, everybody's cheering and having a big time. Oh, just so confident that he's doing a great job. He turned around to a man that was standing there cheering. He said, sir, do you believe that I could push a man across this cable in this wheelbarrow? You know what happened? Oh, yes, sir, I believe you could do that. You know what he said? Get in the wheelbarrow. Amen. Now, what you going to do? I'm talking about faith, promise, giving. What does it do? It continues our salvation. It cheers our soul. And it conquers Satan. You know what we got to have? We got to have, if we're going to reach this world with the gospel, we need to get the gospel everywhere we can. I admire this brother right here. Walters, is it Walters? On his slides up here. I'm just going to say this. Preacher, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. You look around at those slides, how many people would be willing to give their life to the inner city? I worked at a rescue mission downtown Atlanta for 7 years. I was director of the mission down there. Oh, I'm telling you, it's tough. You know what we used to do? And maybe this brother knows something about this. If it was ever a full moon outside, you could bet you were going to have a fight before the night was over. My granddaddy used to say you dig holes on the phase of the moon. And one time you dig a hole and it don't have enough dirt to go back in it. Another time you dig a hole on a different phase of the moon, has too much dirt to go back in it. Anybody ever heard that? That's the way the old folks used to live, by the moon. And I'm telling you the truth, down there at that mission, I saw it. Those guys would come in there like wolves with a full moon. Hey, listen. Who's going to reach this city? Who's going to reach this world? Who's going to reach China? Hey, it ain't time to back off. It's time to put the pedal to the metal. I'm telling you, it's time everybody get involved. Children, little boys and girls, you know what? If you said, hey, I'm going to give $1 a week to missions. Amen. I read about a little lady in the Bible gave 2 mites. That's all she had. You know what Jesus thought of that? That's not enough. You just take that on back. That's not enough. No, that's not what he said. And you know it's not. Jesus looked at those rich folks and he said, y'all doing good, but she gave more than all of you. 2 mites. Now, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? Who's going to really trust God and say, I think this is your second missions conference. If you're not involved in Faith Promise Missions, you just do not know what you're missing. If I could, I don't want to threaten you. I don't even want to call you a bad Christian. I would rather take the other side of the coin and say, listen, if you're not involved in it, you don't realize what you're missing. And look around this church. There's people in this church that have needs. What's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? I can tell you where people... One time I was in church, and I'm going to stop with this. One time I was in church, and a man that owned a machine shop. Preacher, I had just went on staff at a church. I came back from Hiles Anderson, went on staff at my home church. I was making $250 a week. My preacher felt so sorry for me that when we would have a good offering, he would come down and knock on my door. I was teaching in school. He'd knock on my door and say... And I'd walk outside, and he'd give me a separate check for about $50, $250. But God took care of us. Don't get me wrong, okay? And I was doing what I'd been wanting to do for you. I'd have done it for nothing. But one day, this old man had owned a machine shop. Big old burly man, had hands. I think he wore about a 25 ring. You could drop a half dollar through his ring. Biggest hands I've ever seen. He walked up to me one day after church. He stuck a $20 bill in my hand. And he said, take your wife out for lunch. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I've never forgot that. And that meant so much to me for him to do that. I want to ask you, what you going to do with it? You can't take it with you. Amen. Who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight. Oh, Lord, thank you for this good church. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you that they have a heart for seeing folks saved. Thank you for the people that's been saved even this week in this place. And Father, I prayed right now you'd bless this invitation. And Lord, please help those that need to come to the altar to do what you'd have them to do in this place.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.